How are you? How are things?
I'm well. Yeah, really good. I've been playing in ConvertKit pretty much every day since talking to you, and I feel so much better about it now that it's all sort of in order.
Good. It's lots of people. And once it clicks, it clicks.
Yeah,
that's what
definitely.
I always say. And I've met like two people out of hundreds who it's just never clicked for. But most people, it suddenly makes sense, and then it's a much more enjoyable tool to use.
Yeah. Well, I've got to tell you that I did make a massive, massive mistake. I've created a little group, I guess a segment for my cycling buddy, because I organize a France trip every couple of years.
Yeah.
And there's 20 of us. And I wrote an email to them about a bike bag that's on special they should grab if they're going to be heading over. And I accidentally sent that out to my entire list.
That's probably actually going to do more good than harm, though. Because it all of a sudden makes you this real person with real interests, a real life, and people are just going to be like, oh, he's a real person. That's cool. I like cycling too. This is like, and then they'll feel more connected to you. So,
well, that's interesting you say that, because I was freaking out and I jumped straight into the ConvertKit group, and obviously there's nothing I could do to stop it. And I send out a following email saying, please delete and ignore the last email, which obviously makes everyone read the last email, I since found out. But then what happened was I got hundreds and hundreds of replies.
Like, not angry, just...
No, they were fun. They're all jokes. You know, I was looking for a bike bag, or how many cameras does that bike bag hold? Or I've just, what am I going to do with my tickets to France I just booked?
So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Often when people send silly subject lines and they do silly things, it draws attention to them, but then it humanizes them. And then people like them more because they realize that no one is as shiny as they look. We're all, you know, dressing from the waist up most days, and it's all fine.
Well, you know, I'm going to leave this part of the interview in if that's okay with you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think this will be helpful, and I think this will reinforce a few things for, you know, for the listener as well. I mean, we all do make mistakes. And I got to say, I thought the sky was falling in when I first made it, but it, like you said, it wasn't so bad in the end.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time, I think, like reassuring. Like, people come into the ConvertKit family Facebook group freaking out about all sorts of things. And 9 times out of 10, their mistakes actually turn out to be massive positives, really. And I think people forget that we don't have to pretend that we're not humans. Like, we're all humans. We're humans selling to other humans, working with other humans. And sometimes when we let our humanness show, people really like that. So I don't intentionally make mistakes.
No. But no, I'm not going to do that again.
It's not the end of the world. You're not going to lose people. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, true. This is PhotoBizX episode number 256, and today's special guest is not a photographer, nor does she specialize in anything to do with photography, but she knows business, she knows email, autoresponders, and all about building a successful business. I'm talking about Elizabeth Goddard, and that interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I am going to have a short intro today. I'm at Rizutsu in Japan, on the North Island of Japan in Hokkaido. And it's currently snowing outside, but it hasn't snowed for the last few days. So I'm taking this opportunity to record a day early because I think tomorrow is going to be absolutely amazing out there on the slopes, or amongst the trees anyway, in the thick powder. So I'm looking forward to that. And if you want to get a bit of a glimpse into what I'm experiencing and seeing over here, if you've ever thought about coming to Japan to go skiing, then you can check out my Instagram account, which is Andrew_Helmich. And by all means, if you're ever planning to do a trip over here, then hit me up and I'd be happy to help out with any info that I can to help make your trip even better. Anyway, that is enough about holidays and skiing from me. We're going to get straight into the interview and the bulk of the content for today's episode in just a sec. Following the interview with Elizabeth, I've got a bunch of announcements that I know you'll be interested in, so stick around for those. And if you hear any background noises, I do apologise in advance. I'm recording this from my bedroom in the Pension Yamada, where I'm staying here at Rizutsu. You can see what the room looks like on my Instagram account, but it's basically mattresses on the floor. My son and I, Maddie, are sharing a bedroom. There's a heater and there's a window looking out to the slopes with a theme park between us and the actual ski resort. Yeah, it's a crazy, weird place. Anyway, if you do hear any noise in the background, I know the owners are getting in and doing some cleaning and getting things sorted before everyone gets back from a day skiing. But let's push on with the episode.
And now, a macro look at our last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Vincent Puglisi. He is the photographer. He basically paid off all his debts with his wedding photography business, which started out as a sideline. And since then, he's become the author of the book Freelance to Freedom. It was one of the most well-received interviews I've done in a long time. There's been a lot of discussion inside the members' Facebook group, a lot of excited listeners and members about the things that Vincent had to share and the success that he's had with his wedding photography business. And the members were also excited about the extra tips that they heard in the members only recording. But the one thing I messed up was giving you the correct link to get hold of Vincent's top 10 tips that he learned from earning $32,000 in a year to $32,000 in one day. The link, the correct link to get those top 10 tips, the PDF, is photobizx.com/freelance to freedom. And I've got a link to that in the show notes for today's episode, which are at photobizx.com/256. And that's where you'll find links to anything and everything that you hear talked about in today's episode. So if you want to grab those top 10 tips, that PDF from Vincent, photobizx.com/freelance to freedom, get back and have a listen to that episode if the idea of paying off all your debt, including your home mortgage, is appealing, which I'm guessing is you, because I don't know anyone that doesn't want to have no debt. And it's pretty cool to know that Vincent and his wife did that with their wedding photography business, which started out as a sideline thing. Yeah, just amazing.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Elizabeth Goddard, the ConvertKit expert, email and autoresponder aficionado, in just a second. I just want to let you know that if you are hearing this announcement, then you are listening to the free podcast episode, which means you won't be hearing the full interview with Elizabeth today. I do save a portion of the interview, usually the second half, for premium members. So if you want to learn more about email marketing, about email autoresponders, tagging and segmenting your list, why it's so important to create a list, and how to really look after your subscribers with email, and how by doing so will generate you so many more clients in the long run, then grab a trial membership, which you can do at photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can sign up, you get 30 days access for your premium membership. You can hear the full interview today with Elizabeth, and you get access to the full back catalog. You'll get an invite to the Facebook group, which is a members only group. Plus, yeah, there's heaps more. And you'll get a chance to meet the other premium members, who are an amazing bunch of photographers from all around the world who share and contribute and offer so much inside the members' Facebook group. Yeah, you really will get a ton from the membership, more than I can ever explain. It's something you really do have to experience. So get in and do that. Hear the full interview today, and I will chat to you inside the members' Facebook group as well.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest runs a super successful online business, and she specializes in helping other businesses with their tech, their email, and their strategy. And she got to where she is today by niching down over and over. And it was this specialization instead of generalization that opened the door to her success. And once she started identifying gaps in the market and creating solutions, things really took off. And this whole online business started out as a temporary thing, and she loved it so much, it changed her life, and she's sticking with it. Although she's not a photographer, her story reflects that of many successful photographers. She's a certified ConvertKit expert, think MailChimp on steroids, and she's so helpful online, she is impossible to ignore and impossible not to love. I'm talking about Elizabeth Goddard, and I'm rapt to have her with us now. Elizabeth, welcome again.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful introduction. That's one of the faces I think I've ever had. That was so nice.
Well, it's all true. It's all true. Look, I did first, I guess, stumble across and find you through a Facebook group. First of all, in that group, you are impossible to ignore. You are there answering questions and tough questions all the time. Why do you do that?
I love helping people. That's the simple answer. Like, I love helping people. And I found that the history of my being in that group is that I moved to ConvertKit myself. And then a couple of people were looking for VAs to help them migrate to ConvertKit in other groups. And I'm just like, oh, I'm a VA and I understand ConvertKit. So I started offering like really cheap migrations. Like I started playing with migrations and offering those. And then I started doing more and more ConvertKit work. And I think no one has proved otherwise. I was the very first person to create a ConvertKit services page. So a page where I'm like, these are the ConvertKit services that I offer. And I think I was the very first person, and I still do very well in Google SEO as a result of being the first person to have created that page. And this went on for a couple of months. And then I emailed ConvertKit. It was about, I think it was April 2016. Oh my gosh, it was only last year. April 2016. Yeah, that's when it was. To ask them if they had any plans to create a certified program, a consultant, expert program. And they replied that they didn't. And I'm like, okay, not a problem. That's fine. And I think I was already in the group at this time, but something about ConvertKit like speaks to my soul. I love it. I love it so much, how it's structured and how it works. And I just started answering people's questions, which I was doing before for other tech things, but I really found my groove with answering questions in the ConvertKit family Facebook group. And it was probably about 6 weeks after I'd emailed ConvertKit, they reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to be an admin, an ambassador in that group. And I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. In there all day, every day. That's not going to hurt me. That sounds great. So then they made me an admin in the official Facebook group. It only had a couple of thousand people in it at the time. I don't know what it is now. It's like 7,000 or something big. And I don't know, I just love helping people in there. And my favorite personal challenge to myself, because I'm really weird, is my goal all the time is to have the correct answer in the comments when it still says it was posted just now. Like, that is my personal goal to myself. And I achieve that a couple of times a week. I'm really struggling now. Facebook notifications are not showing in the right order, but that's a separate issue. But I achieve this goal a couple of times a week, and I just love helping people. And a lot of people sort of ask me, like, you spend so much time helping people for free, like completely for free. People also PM me, and I'll help anyone anywhere with ConvertKit anytime. And they're like, how do you monetize that? And the thing is, if you've helped someone in a moment of crisis, like when they're having a meltdown about something, as soon as they more calmly want to help, you're the person they go to. So people come back to me because they know I helped them when they were in a pickle.
Yeah, well, it works. I mean, I hired you to help me when I had troubles.
Yes, it works. Absolutely works.
Okay, well, let's step back a little tiny bit, because you've said a few things here that the listener might be totally lost, because we're talking to photographers. And I know that I've brought you in not being a photographer, but I've got a really good reason for doing that, because I know that email and email strategy is something that scares some photographers. And I know you're an expert in that. But first of all, what is ConvertKit? What's a VA? And what do you mean by migration?
Okay. ConvertKit is an email marketing software system provider. So it basically allows you to collect people's email addresses and then send emails to them in like a bulk way. So it's like MailChimp, it's like Infusionsoft, Entreport, ActiveCampaign, GetResponse, Aweber. They're all relatives of each other. ConvertKit's particularly special for many people because it's very powerful, but it's very simple to use. And I always tell people I would rather that they have a system that they understand and can use effectively than they have a more complicated system that does do more, but they are only using the absolute basics because they can't work it. Mm-hmm. So that's what ConvertKit is. VA is a virtual assistant. It's a name given to people doing a wide variety of tasks online, but they also online business owners, and they help you help other online business owners with all sorts of behind the scenes tasks. So that might be a customer service virtual assistant, a tech virtual assistant, a social media virtual assistant, and they range in price between about $20 an hour to $50, $60 an hour, and they can help with all sorts of tasks. You'll find them in lots of online business groups. And then last question was migrations. Migrations are where you move from one system or tool to another system or tool seamlessly as possible. So I spend a lot of time helping people move from MailChimp, which is very popular for beginners because it's free up to 2,000 subscribers. And I help them move across to ConvertKit, but their subscribers never really know that they've moved.
Got it. Okay, so with the things that we talk about today, and I know you are a certified ConvertKit expert, the things we talk about can still be applicable to anyone that's using MailChimp. Is that right?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. So in the past, there used to be MailChimp, AWeber, GetResponse, and a couple of others. And they are what are called list-based, which means for every different thing you want to do. So let's say you have a...
Let's say wedding photography clients and portrait photography clients.
Okay. You would have to have a separate list for each of those categories. You'd have to have a separate list for each of those. And then you might also have a list for like previous clients. So people interested in wedding photography, people interested in portraiture, and then people who've actually hired you for one of those. You'd have to have a separate list. Now, people might be on multiples of those lists, and you're paying for their email address to be on multiples of the lists multiple times. And it's much harder to pinpoint exactly who you want to be contacting. Whereas with ConvertKit, it's called subscriber-centric, which means you basically have one long list, and then you can divide that up based on, they're called tags in ConvertKit. So little bits of information about people, they're just like sticky labels that you stick on people, and you can then much more finely pinpoint exactly who you want to talk to, which is really powerful because it means that when people receive the emails, you can say, hey, Bob, as you came to this wedding fair last year, and I know that you like cats because you watched the cat video I sent you, I would like to invite you to my cat party in your part of the world next month. So you can get so specific, which makes people feel like you're a mind reader, and they can't ignore you so much when you're sending them things that are so specific to their interests, who they are, and the information you've collected about them.
So how do you apply those tags? So you said, so they watched a video, and that if they click the link to watch that video, you added a tag automatically inside ConvertKit to that subscriber.
Yes. So it sounds more complicated than it is, but any action a subscriber takes relating to your account, you've got the information that they took that, and you can use that information. So if they sign up for a certain form, through a certain form on your website, if they sign up at a certain event where they write down their email address and then you manually put it in, if they click on a certain link, if they sign up through a particular form, then you can tag them. You've got that information that you can then use. So you're basically collecting information about people based on how they engage with your business and your email, your ConvertKit account. And then you can use that information to personalize and specifically target things back at them.
Yeah, I've got it. I understand what you mean. I think in regards to the listener, I guess to put it in photography terms, if you had a group of clients that went through Christmas mini sessions, for example, then you could send them emails and talk about those Christmas mini sessions because you know they were at those Christmas mini sessions. But you could have a separate group of people that were interested in the mini sessions that didn't turn up or didn't actually book a shoot, and you can talk about the same thing in a different way to them because you've tagged them differently.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, cool.
That's much harder to do with systems like MailChimp. It is possible to some extent, but you're moving into like the workaround territory. It's not the core, like it's not how the system has been designed, but ConvertKit has been 100% designed to allow this very detailed segmenting of the people who have given you their email address.
Okay, got it. All right, let's not go too deep into this now because I want to come back to email and email strategy, and maybe we'll even simplify it even more, say, for the photographer that might have, you know, two or three lists of different groups of clients or prospective clients. But before that, I just want to hear a little bit about your story because I think that is so relevant to the listener, because you started out your VA business pretty much helping anyone and everyone with anything and everything. And then you slowly niched down. Can you just talk to us about why you niched down and how that affected your business?
So my story is, I think, quite unusual in how I got to where I am today. So I need to go back a little bit further before I became a VA. So in 2013, I have chronic fatigue syndrome, ME, and I was too ill to work. I was basically housebound. I went out maybe once a week and that was all I could manage. And I was living on disability benefits because I was too ill to work. And I stumbled across this. It was specifically the lifestyle design part of online business, the internet. And I was so inspired by all these people traveling the world, working from their laptops. And I'm just like, what is this magical thing? Like, how is this possible? And I didn't want to travel the world, but I'm like, if I could make money from my laptop in bed, then that would be winning at life as far as I was concerned back then. And I eventually, at the end of 2013, I believe, I started a business for young people with chronic illness called The Pillow Fort. And I've recently closed it this year, but it was my first proper attempt at an online business, although I did also sell physical products. And that went quite well for a few years, but it didn't make a huge amount of money, not enough to live on, but I was basically living on benefits because I wasn't very well. And then my health started to improve a lot. So at the end of 2014, I got a part-time job, came off disability benefits, hated the part-time job, and quit 2 weeks later. Couldn't easily get back onto the disability benefits, so was panicking a little bit. I wasn't very well. I quit my part-time job, and I didn't really have a plan. And then I don't even know why, but I decided I wanted to be a maths teacher. So being a maths teacher has always been my plan B in life, because I've kind of always wanted to be a maths teacher, but I also have always wanted to do other things too. So because of the degree I had, they were going to actually give me a huge bursary if I trained to be a maths teacher, which was very appealing at the time, having not had a lot of money for many years. So I got a place on this teacher training course to be a maths teacher. And I was about early 2015 now. And I had been very active in certain areas of the online business world. I'd taken a lot of courses. I knew quite a lot of people. And I had 6 months to kill before this course started. So I looked at my skill set and I'm like, I know how to use MailChimp. I know how WordPress works. I'm going to be a VA for 6 months. So I posted everywhere, I'm going to be VA for 6 months. I will do anything. I will learn anything. Like, you can have me for 6 months. And I very, very quickly got clients because I was quite well connected in with people. They liked what they'd seen that I'd done with The Pillow Fort. So it was easy enough to hire me to try with other stuff.
So did you email everyone on that list to let them know what you're doing? Is that how you got started?
No, I didn't email that list. I think I just posted on Facebook, to be honest, because I was friends with quite a lot of other online business owners. And I'd done all right with The Pillow Fort. People could see that I could build websites, I could do basic social media. So I think I just posted on Facebook and I started to get some clients. People started to refer me. And within a couple of weeks, I had quite a few clients. I had raised my rates a little bit. And I couldn't for the life of me remember why I wanted to be a maths teacher. People are paying me to do exactly what I was doing before that I can do from bed. I can just sit in bed and I can faff around on the internet all day, which is what I was doing before. But now people were paying me real money that I could spend in shops on food. It was amazing. It's how I felt about it. So I'm quite I'm a bit woo. So I was just like, look, universe, you let me know by August if I should be a maths teacher, if I should be a VA. You just let me know anytime. Just make it clear to me which of those two things I'm meant to do, please. And almost immediately, everything started going wrong with this maths course because I had to do this like preliminary maths course, and it was the most stupid thing I've ever done, and I hated it. And I was getting more clients, I was raising my rates, I was starting to get attention. I was nearly fully booked within a couple of months. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a VA. I'm going to do this. So I never started the teacher training course. I emailed them and I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I was an accidentally full-time permanent VA. Whereas most people who become VAs, they very much do it as a stepping stone to something else. No, sorry, the wrong way around. Most people start as a VA and they're like, I'm going to be a VA forever. And then within 6 months, a year, they're a business coach. They're doing something else entirely. And I was the other way around. So that's how I became a VA, entirely accidentally. But you're right, I would do anything for anyone. I was doing social media. I was doing customer service. I was doing WordPress. I think I'd built some websites for people. I would do anything for anyone. And it was very fun at that point because I wanted to learn everything I could learn about as much as I could learn. I knew that was going to help me figure out exactly what I should be doing.
So did you have a six-figure business by that stage?
No, it wasn't six-figure. It wasn't six-figure at all. This year is going to be my first six-figure year.
You're talking UK pounds too, aren't you?
This year is going to be my first six-figure dollar year.
US dollar. Is that what you're talking?
US dollars, yes. Right, okay. This year will be my first six-figure year US dollars.
Congrats.
But most VAs charge somewhere between about $20 and $40. And at the beginning of this year, I wasn't really calling myself a VA anymore, but I put up my rates to $100. And my coach at the time said, no one will pay that. And I said, I'm doing it anyway. And people pay it. People pay me $100 an hour often.
I mean, in saying that, for me, speaking personally, I only needed you for an hour. And that was money well spent. I mean, you sorted out a big mess for me. I'd happily pay that any day of the week.
Absolutely. So I think if you're not sort of familiar with virtual assistants, they often do not treat their businesses as valid businesses the way the clients they help treat their businesses as valid businesses. And I think I've always had a very strong mindset. I've been very clear that I am a skilled person and I have a lot of experience and I can help you make your business better, even though I'm helping people behind the scenes. So my story as a virtual assistant may not seem hugely impressive when compared to other types of businesses, but within the virtual assistant world, it's quite impressive that I made the money I did as quickly as I did.
So did it become more impressive because you niched down and specialized?
Yeah, so I was doing everything for everyone for many months, and then I started playing with this tool called OptimizePress, which is a WordPress theme and plugin. It's like a page builder. And that was my first trip into packages. So up until that point, I'd only been working hourly for people. And that was my first time getting paid a set amount to achieve a set task. And this was like a light bulb to me, just being like, oh my goodness, the faster I can work, the more I make when I'm doing package work. And that was really exciting. And then in early 2016, that's when I moved the Pillowfort from MailChimp to ConvertKit, started doing the ConvertKit work, and things all really took off for me. So going back to the story from earlier, it was about a month after they invited me to be admin in the official Facebook group. They got on a call with me and invited me to become one of the first four ConvertKit certified experts, which is something 2 months prior they said they had absolutely no plans to do. So I like to think that I manifested that and I'm the reason that they do it and all of that. I like to think it. I don't have feelings.
Nice.
But I was making quite like a significant percentage of my income each month was coming from ConvertKit before I was certified. And when I became certified, I have milked my certification and my like expert status for everything it's worth. And a lot of the other certified experts do not focus on ConvertKit. It's kind of like a string to their bigger bow. Whereas I have gone about 80% all in on ConvertKit. I'm too multi-passionate, shiny object, want to try loads of things to go 100% in. And I do other things too, but I went all in with ConvertKit and I really have tried And I think successfully done, like, positioned myself as the person who writes about, thinks about, talks about, helps with ConvertKit. And I think that positioning has people I don't know. Every day, someone I like don't know tags me in a Facebook group, either because someone has posted asking about ConvertKit, they've got a ConvertKit question and they want to know my thoughts. No one realizes that I don't actually work at ConvertKit and they don't pay me. So I think my positioning has worked, what I've tried to do with it.
Absolutely. So the more you've niched down, the more you've increased your hourly rate and the more money you're making.
Absolutely. Because initially what was happening was I had my, you know, virtual assistant rate hourly, which from, let's say for argument's sake was about $35. But I knew that the skills I had in ConvertKit were worth more than $35 an hour because there was no one better than me, no one working with ConvertKit more than I was. So I had, you know, like a ConvertKit rate and like a VA rate. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I can't have two rates because people hire me for ConvertKit. And they're like, I don't suppose you know how to fix this thing. Or I don't suppose you know how that works. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Because I was, you know, a tech VA. I'm very techie. So ConvertKit has always like pulled up my rates because the ConvertKit part of my business was growing and growing. And that's kind of pulls the rest of my business along with it because I couldn't justify it being less. So I went in, it was March this year, I was $65 for everything an hour, and I jumped up to 100, which I may go up again soon because I always have more work than I could possibly do. I think when we first connected, I was quite slow to reply because I just got people wanting to work with me coming out my ears. And there's only so much rate increasing you can do and feel almost comfortable about that.
Yeah.
And that's my own business thing I'm working on, being like, I've got like too many people want to work with me, so I need to increase my rates, but I like my rates, so I don't want to do that. So sometimes it just becomes a bit of a mess.
Hey, one thing I've noticed inside the ConvertKit group is you are the standout, absolute standout in regard to professional help inside that group, even though you don't work for ConvertKit. And now I'm seeing a couple of other names sort of jumping in pretty quickly, answering questions. Like, how does that make you feel when you see other people sort of, I don't want to say moving in on your turf, but that's sort of the impression from a bystander or an outsider looking in, how it appears.
So I know most of the other people who have probably hit your radar. A number of them are also certified experts. So I have a couple of responses, some of them more honest, that like, I have a couple of responses.
Let me reframe it for you, because I'm asking because as a photographer and the listener that's listening to you right now, no doubt faces a huge amount of competition. There are so many photographers out there. And now, you know, you have owned this market and now you're getting other people sort of starting to move in there. So how does that make you feel?
How does it make me feel? My initial response is I do have to sleep. So when people reply to people when I'm asleep, I'm kind of okay with that. And sometimes I go away and people reply. But I think I have such absolute confidence that I am the best for a significant group of people, but I'm not the best for everybody. Like, some people are better off working with one of these other people if they want to work with someone. But I'm so confident in who I am, what I offer, how I can help, why people might want to work with me, that it doesn't bother me that much when I know there are other people. And I also know there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many people I can help. I try to create, and not many of the other people in there are doing this. A couple of them are, but not many. I'm creating blog posts that sometimes they will answer with my blog post because it is the best answer. I have course, I have a membership site. I have so many different things going on that I feel really quite secure in my base, that on the odd week where I was living my life not in that group, because I was away for a couple of weeks recently and I didn't comment much at all, and other people, you know, almost gained some ground, I know I will be back in there. And I'm so confident, and I've done the work over many, many years. Like, it's getting on for 2 years now I have been in there helping, and I'm the person who gets tagged when someone wants my specific opinion on something, which is very flattering and quite strange still. So it's a confidence in myself that I am relevant. I have a lot to offer. There are many reasons why people will hire me over someone else. And I think it's for those reasons that I don't worry too much. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, oh, she beat me to it again. But that's just human nature, isn't it?
So that's what I was looking for, because that's a normal human emotion. That's how I feel if another photographer books a wedding over me. I'm thinking, oh, damn it, that guy got me again. One other thing that stands out about you and your profile is, you know, your photos around the place and particularly on Facebook, and you're wearing a onesie. You know, it's not something that you expect to see from a professional. Is that something you've done on purpose?
Initially, no. Now, yes. So a couple of years ago, I had a photo shoot with a friend to get some professional photos, both for my VA business and for my then VA business and for the Pillow Fort. And I took the onesie as a bit of a joke, thinking it would create some fun pictures for the Pillow Fort, which is all about fun and positivity for young people with chronic illness. And I just loved those photos so much more than the ones where I was wearing, you know, a nice dress and a necklace. And I just loved those photos. And I thought, what would happen if I, you know, made this my main business photo, me in a giraffe onesie? And the result has been so effective in terms of ideal clients look at that and they think, great, I want to talk to the girl in the giraffe onesie. They can understand that I'm very good at what I do, but I'm a real person and I, you know, I can be silly and I can have fun and I'm not super corporate and professional. And then other people look at this girl in the giraffe onesie and they go, well, that's ridiculous. That's not professional. I'm not going to work with her. And I'm like, good. Well, I don't want to work with you anyway. So it's been quite divisive. And that has been fantastic for business because it's made the people who have hired me more feel like they can connect with me more. But the funny story is that when I got married at the end of last year, we took off a month for our honeymoon. And in that month, I changed my profile picture to a wedding profile picture. And then I came back and I said to my wife, I'm so sorry, but I've got to go back to the giraffe onesie now. Like, no one is going to know who I am otherwise, especially as I double barreled my name as well. It changed slightly. So I also sort of stuck with this giraffe onesie picture. But I've met people at events and they sort of come up to me and they sort of raise their hands up onto their heads. And I'm like, yes, I'm the girl in giraffe onesie. It is me. Yes, hello.
So what are you going to do when you update this? How are you going to maintain this look?
I'm tempted to change to just another animal, just nice. Try something else. I'm not sure. Maybe I get a unicorn onesie or something. But I don't know. Like, it was a bit of an accident, a bit of a joke, but it was a very good one. And I'm glad that it happened. And it's been like most people I talk to in like interviews and podcasts and stuff, they do bring up the fact I'm wearing a giraffe onesie, which means it's working. Whatever it's doing, it's working.
Yeah, it's obviously not turning clients away either. Not the right clients, because you've booked solid.
Yes.
Let me be a photographer and you're coming in to help me. And, you know, you may know nothing about photography and photography business, but an email marketing isn't a big thing. Like, it's not huge in the photography industry. A lot of photographers are scared of it. They think it's not personal enough. They have to reply individually to everyone. They know about newsletters, but a lot of photographers don't know what to put into a newsletter. And they don't know how to get people to subscribe to a newsletter to get onto the mailing list. Can we talk a little bit about that stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
Where is the best place to start for someone that wants to start building an email list? And I mean, I think we all understand the importance of building an email list. I mean, that really it's your one and only asset as a photographer.
Yeah. So I have a strategy client at the moment who is a photographer, and her thing is that she does film photography. And I didn't know this for many sessions that she worked with film. And I'm just like, why is that not everywhere? That's such a standout thing that you do that makes you different to other photographers. So I think, like with anything, you have to know why you're different. Like, why should someone hire you? If you do not believe that you have something to offer over other photographers, there's not a reason why someone would hire you. Not on cost, not on, you know, like the features of what's included in the package, then you're off to a losing start. First of all, you have to know why someone would hire you. In my experience, photographers are very interesting because most people hire a photographer or they don't hire a photographer. There's not this extended warm-up process nurturing process that there often is in other online businesses. So if someone's in the market for a business coach, they may not shop around, but be on the email list of people for months, many people, before they make the jump and make the investment. Whereas photographers, if you're looking for a photographer, there's often a particular reason why that is. So I would start with like advising someone to think about how can you make an impact very, very quickly with someone when they're in that looking for a photographer stage. Now, you definitely need their email address, but I would have said that the time that you need to warm them up to you needs to be like dramatically condensed over other businesses. And I need to write a blog post or something on this, because obviously like freebie opt-ins where you give them something free in exchange for their email address are a really big thing in the online business world. And I'm actually quite a proponent of just give them a reason, just give them a form. It's better to have a form to collect their email address than it is to spend months creating something to give them for free that they may or may not want anyway. So one thing I've done quite well with photographers is like almost top tips guides to getting the most out of working with someone. But it's very important that you make sure that you don't just promote your industry. So I see people getting this wrong with opt-ins all the time. They're promoting their industry with their freebie rather than promoting themselves. So let me explain. So for example, if you create a freebie, 10 ways to get the most out of your business headshots photo shoots, and you get their email address and you give them these 10 wonderful advice, like 10 wonderful tips, it doesn't matter who they hire because you've given them the tips. You've promoted You've promoted people who do things like you do rather than promoting yourself.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Do you teach more of this stuff, or have you got blog posts on more of this stuff if the listener wants to follow up?
Yeah, so I have blog posts on lots of things. A lot of them are ConvertKit tutorials, but there's a lot more. I blog on lots of things. And I have a membership site and a course.
What's the course on? Emailing, or is it on ConvertKit?
So the course is called ConvertKit Rockstars. It's coming out next week. Don't know when this is going live, so it's probably out by the time it's live. It's called ConvertKit Rockstars, and it is about ConvertKit, but it's about email marketing, strategy, and tech. So you can't just know how to do the tech because you've never actually got anything to say. You can't just do the strategy if you don't know the tech. So it's the email marketing strategy and tech for people who use ConvertKit. It's a course, and there I will give you a discount code that you can give your people.
Awesome. So just with the course, because I didn't know anything about this because it's not out yet, is like, do you have to have ConvertKit? Well, first of all, I should ask you, Elizabeth, before I let you go, is if someone's using MailChimp now that's listening, is there any reason, like, should they necessarily come over to ConvertKit?
So MailChimp is great, and I recommend MailChimp for a lot of people for a long time. If you have reached the point in your business where you have multiple opt-ins, multiple lists, multiple things going on, and it's getting tedious to keep that organized, then it's definitely time to have a look at ConvertKit. Migrating to ConvertKit is not super complicated, so you don't need to like get on ConvertKit early because it's a headache to change later, really. I'm quite pro, as long as you have a list and you're collecting emails, I don't really care where you're doing it. You will know when you are so frustrated with workarounds in MailChimp that it's time to look at something else.
Got it. Okay. So, and then with your course, is that going to be applicable for the listener if they're a photographer and they are using MailChimp? Can they still get any benefit from the course?
Not really. I don't really I'd only really recommend it for people who use ConvertKit. I don't really help people with email marketing with any other system. That's basically just because there's enough people for me to help to sustain a business with just ConvertKit. But like I said, like people who don't use ConvertKit enjoy my emails, enjoy my blog posts, because I talk about things in A word people use quite a lot is like refreshing. I give them permission to do it their way. I say very different things to most email marketing experts out there. Just like I've said, you don't need to be consistent. You can as many things as you want. Tell them about your life. Not many people say that, but I do. So yeah, come over to my website. Feel free to sign up for my list. Be in my world. You'll like me or you won't like me. Either is fine. And yeah.
Cool. And the website is elizabethgoddard.co.uk. And I'll add links in the show notes so that's easy to find. And you've got a sign-up form right on your homepage.
Yes, very interestingly, not for a freebie though, but lots of people sign up through that form. You don't have to have a freebie.
It says, I send sporadic newsletters about ConvertKit and other stuff. They're good, promise.
People sign up to that most days.
That's so good.
Yeah. They don't feel like you have to wait until you've got a perfect freebie. Just get a form up right now, today, and people will sign up. Slower than you might like, but they will sign up, which is better than not.
Elizabeth, this has been a real pleasure for me. I love what you do. I love you, and I love the way that you help so many people. It's been fantastic to have you on, so thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Elizabeth as much as I did. I hope there are as many takeaways for you as I had, and I hope you can realize and see the importance of a good email strategy to help with your photography business. If you have any follow-up questions for Elizabeth, then you can hit her up in the comments area, which you'll find at the bottom of the show notes, and they are at photobizx.com/256. I know that she'll be happy to come back and answer any questions there. I've also got links to anything and everything that Elizabeth mentioned in the show notes. So you can access her courses, her emails, her website. It's all there for you in that one place. And if you are listening as a premium member, I'll be adding Elizabeth inside the members' Facebook group. So you'll have access to her there for any follow-up questions that you might have. I mentioned at the top of the show, there were a few announcements after the interview, and I want to share those with you now. Again, the details for any of these can also be found inside the show notes for today's episode as well. The first thing is the Online Photography Sales Masterclass. It's on special for one more day. So if you want to add online sales to what you do, or you want to do better at your online sales, then grab the masterclass while it's on special. It finishes today. And a quick way to get to the course is photobizx.com/online sales course. And I've got to share with you what Praveen Shankham shared with us, with Nick and I this week. He says, hey, 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 Andrew and Nick, I must admit this course has been the best I have purchased by a mile. I can't thank you enough for putting it the way you have. Even though I'm just starting out, I was in procrastination mode most of the time, but after this, it will all change. The content of the course, Nick's website, and how easy to understand it all is a game changer. The course is like Red Bull for my photography business. You truly have given me the push and wings to fly. That is one of the best reviews I've ever read, and I can tell you that other course members are having great success. I'm hearing stories of biggest sales ever, selling my top package every single time. These kind of things are coming in as members start to put into action what they're learning inside the masterclass. So for under $100, I'd like to think you could 10 times your investment with your very first sale by using what we share inside the course. In a nutshell, the course basically shows you a strategy to lead clients naturally to your top package every single time. And it's set out in a step-by-step structure, super easy to follow. You can have this up and running after your next portrait session. Like, it is that simple. And I think you'll also love the fact that it's not drip-fed. Once you get access to the course, you have access to the full course. You read it, you implement it as you go, and you're up and running in no time. It's super simple.
Want to know more about Andrew? Follow him on Instagram at Andrew_Helmich.
I don't know if you're creating slideshows for your clients or not. I certainly do, and I use Smart Slides. And you would have heard me talk about Smart Slides in the past. It's the easiest way to make beautiful slideshows. And I've interviewed Daniel Yusenko on the show before. We've talked about Smart Slides and Smart Albums. I mean, I'm an absolute fan of both. There's no secret about that. I don't get anything from Daniel to say that. I just love how easy he's made making slideshows and designing albums. It's a fantastic company, and what they're doing is just amazing. But I was speaking to Daniel this week, and there is a big announcement from Smart Slides that's going to be released this week. They are introducing
one-click automatic beat matching for the Smart Slides program. So basically, you pick a song from their repertoire, from the app, you click a button, and your image transitions will happen on the beat of the song. Like, it is so cool. It is so simple. I can understand now, after seeing how it works, why it took them so long to release this, because they've just made it so easy. And I've got a link to a little promo video and the instructional video on how this works. But if you've ever tried to create a slideshow where the images transition on the beat, you'll know how tough it is to get exactly the right amount of images. So what Smart Slides does is you click the button to add automatic beat matching. And if your slideshow will work as is, perfect, you're good to go. You just export and save your slideshow. But if it's not going to work exactly as it is, it gives you a couple of choices. You can either add more images, you can trim the track, or you can take some images away. So you get those three options to choose from, so that your slideshow will look as professional and as beautiful as it can be. But here's the real kicker. The app will actually give you the recommended option that they think you should take to make it easy for you, which is just awesome. Like I said, I've got links in the show notes. Have a look at the 1 minute tutorial, the promo video. To me, this is exactly how promo video should be made as well. I mean, it's 1 minute long. You see instantly how it works. It's so good. And then they have a 2 minute tutorial, and I've linked to that in the show notes as well. So if you want to see either or both of those, the show notes are at photobizx.com/256 for this episode. And if you are a Smart Slides user, you'll have access to this on Tuesday, which is the day after this podcast goes live. It'll just show up automatically, I believe, once you log into Smart Slides. So I'm hoping it's going to be as seamless as that. That's what Daniel tells me is going to happen on Tuesday. I can't wait to try it out for myself. And if you get a chance to use this, then yeah, leave a comment in the comments area, or we can chat about this inside the members Facebook group. But I think this is a fantastic development for the app and for Daniel. Yeah, so kudos to you, mate. Well done.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
The last announcement is to do with Spencer Lum, and it's no secret that I am a big fan of Spencer. He's actually been on the podcast, I think, 4 times in the past. He's the guy behind the Ground Glass blog, which, if you don't subscribe to, you should. He's an amazing writer and teacher. And the reason I'm such a big fan of Spencer's is he's teaching photographers, but to me, he's the perfect guy to be teaching, because he's been in the shoes of the people that he's actually helping. You know, he had a photography business in one of the most competitive and saturated markets, New York City, as a wedding photographer, and he struggled for years. And then he found the way to, I was going to say, crack the code, to find his success, to find what made him unique. But not only that, he learned what made his customers tick, his perfect clients, and how to attract them and how to convert them into clients, not just interested couples. Since then, his business just skyrocketed, and now he's actually teaching the things that he's learned. And he seems to be, to me, as much a psychologist as a photographer, the way he understands the way clients make decisions, make commitments to book a photographer, and how to actually find and communicate with those target clients. Like, he really is a super talent at what he does. Anyway, I was chatting to Spencer this week, and he's about to kick off something brand new for creatives. So not just photographers, but he's starting with photographers, and he wants to put together a system or a program or a strategy on how you can be successful as a creative, stay creative, find your perfect client, and continue to do what you want to do by having a successful business around what you love to create. Now, the really cool thing about kicking this thing off is you're going to start off with a webinar. It's a 1 hour webinar, and it's a no pitch webinar, which means he is not selling anything. He's going to be teaching for 1 hour solid. And he assured me, because I said, Spencer, promise me this isn't going to be like a 1 hour sales pitch to listeners, because that would suck. I don't want anyone to come into this not being fully aware of what you're trying to do. And he said, no, Andrew, 100%, this is no pitch. I've got nothing to sell. This is 100% teaching for 1 hour. The topic of the webinar is the 3 keys to creating value and differentiation in a hyper-saturated market. The webinar is scheduled for Thursday morning, Thursday the 15th of February, 2018, at 9 a.m. That's Sydney local time, which makes it Wednesday the 14th,
evening in New York. I'm thinking earlier than that in LA. But anyway, I've got a link in the show notes where you can find the date for your time zone and where you can register for the webinar. It's 100% free. Like I said, Spencer's not selling anything. He's just teaching for 1 hour. And if you want to register for the webinar, which means you'll get access to the replay if the time zone doesn't fit you, because I know if you're listening from Europe or some parts of the world, it's really hard to come up with a time zone that suits everyone. So if you go to photobizx.com/webinar, that's photobizx.com/webinar, you can register and you'll get updates about things as they come to hand from Spencer and also access to the replay when that becomes available. It should be really cool. I'm looking forward to being there for that. I think it's a fantastic topic and I can't think of anyone better to be teaching it. So hopefully I will see you there at the webinar. Alrighty, that is it for this episode. It feels like it's an absolute monster. I'm hoping you've had a ton of info that you are able to take away. And more than that, I'm hoping, more than anything, that you're going to go away and implement some, or even just one thing that you've heard from today's episode. You know, whether that's registering for Spencer's webinar, whether it's downloading the PDF from Vincent Puglisi, whether it's signing up for an account with ConvertKit, starting your email newsletter series, installing an opt-in form on your website, you know, whatever it may be, this podcast is only going to be entertainment. It's not going to help your business unless you go away and implement something that you've heard from today's show. So please promise me that you'll go away and implement something and make the hour that you've spent with me and Elizabeth worthwhile and, you know, make a difference in your business and in your life. All right. I feel like I'm going to start preaching now and I don't want to do that. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to say goodbye from Japan. Next time I talk to you, we'll be back home in Terrigal, Australia, where I think there's probably going to be about a 50 to 60 degree Celsius temperature shift, which I'm kind of looking forward to. All right, have an awesome week, and I will chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.